the scene. I can give you what you want, but you got to go home with me. I forgot some good old loving and I got some in store. When I get through throwing it on you, you got to come back for more. Boys and things will come by the dozen, but that ain't nothing but drugstore loving. Pretty little thing, let me light your count, cause mama, I'm so hard to hell and I yes yeah. around.
Yeah. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We are here 24-7. WGN is here 24-7 to keep you informed, to keep you company, and to get you through this. And we are going to get through this. We will get through this. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here till 4 a.m., and then at 4 o'clock we'll head over to the TV side of WGN, WGN TV over on Bradley Place, and get that first early morning hour of news. And then Bob Surratt has your morning drive right here starting at 5. So 312-981-7200 is the number. And every week we review movies here with Eric Childress and Steve Procopi. It's been kind of a weird time now. They're not really releasing movies. There's some stuff that's being posted, you know, streaming now. They put some first-run movies on, you know, pay-per-view now. So you can just stay at home and watch new movies without going out. And that's a nice service. But we still want to talk about movies with Eric and Steve. And we've been picking out movies when everybody's stuck at home. So last week we talked about comedy. Because everybody needs a good laugh nowadays, so we were talking about some great comedies that you could watch at home, and now you know we're going to go with action because we all want escapist entertainment at this time. So Eric Childress and Steve Procopi. Here's Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
And hi, Steve.
Hello.
So there are a couple of new movies that are available. Correct.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So now, which ones have you seen, Eric? Which ones have you seen?
Well, we've both seen St. Francis. That was our opening night film of the Chicago Critics Film Festival last year, and I think we've both seen Never Rarely, Sometimes Always
okay.
as well.
All right. Okay. So, remind us about Steve. Remind us about St. Francis.
St. Francis, which was supposed to open at the Music Box, right that same week that the shelter-in-place order came in, so they were the first ones to get axed. But it's available now. There's a virtual screening system sort of set up, hosted by Oscilloscope Films distributor, and if you go to the Music Box Theater's website, you can get a dedicated link, and a portion of the $12 ticket price goes right to the Music Box, so helping to keep them around, keep the staff paid, keep the theater open when this is all over. But it's about a sort of flailing 34-year-old woman played by the writer of the film, Kelly O'Sullivan, is based very much in her life, and she catches this break when she gets a really nice boyfriend and a job nannying the 6-year-old named Frances, who's played by this real scene stealer named Ramona, or the actress Ramona Edith Williams. But then she has an unwanted pregnancy, and it sort of complicates her life in more ways than she expects. And to make matters worse, she kind of clashes with this little girl, and she also kind of gets involved in the drama of the little girl's two mothers. So it's just about relationships and about this sort of transitionary period in this woman's life. And it's a very quiet film. It's not overly sentimental. It's not sentimental at all. Even the bigger moments in her life and the big decisions aren't given any more weight than some of the smaller things that happen. And it's just really a film that's treated with like dignity and compassion. It's very funny and very empathetic. It's directed by Alex Thompson. It's shot all in Evanston in Chicago, and features primarily a lot of Chicago theater actors. And it's obviously was great enough for us to open our festival with. It won the Audience Award at South by Southwest last year. It's an absolute people pleaser, which the subject matter might not lead you to believe that, but it truly is. It's a great movie.
Okay. And Eric, what'd you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a really special film, and a lot of those adjectives that Steve mentioned, you're going to hear that a lot about the other movie, which shares sort of a spiritual bond with this one as well. But this one is probably a little bit more broader in range as far as people being able to enjoy it. You know, these are sort of hot-button issues, but it doesn't treat it in a way that feels overtly political or trying to jam a point of view, down you. It really just it lets you experience what this woman is going through, and does it in a very natural way. And it shares kind of a bond also with Obvious Child with Jenny Slate, which is a film that very much dealt with this subject matter. But this one is a lot about the relationship between her and the young girl and her family, and that's the main driving force of the thing. The abortion stuff is sort of treated as, just a thing is just sort of a part of her life more than the overriding plot device of the film. But it's a real special film, and people now have the opportunity to see it at home thanks to the oscilloscope and the music box.
Okay, there you go. So that's St. Francis. All right, Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always. Eric, what's that?
Yeah, this is a movie that premiered at Sundance this year. It's a new film by a writer-director named Eliza Hittman, who had a film with us last year at the festival called Beach Rats. And this one is actually also an abortion drama. It stars Sydney Flanagan as a 17-year-old girl who discovers that she is pregnant and doesn't want to tell her family about it, and then ends up having to go out of state to seek the treatment that she feels that she's, the decision that she's ultimately going to make, and she takes it with her cousin, who is the only one that she tells about the situation. And the movie is really just about this journey that this young woman takes. It's, again, this is not a film that is siding, in a political or even a religious way, one way or the other. It's a film about experiencing this life-altering moment in this young girl's life, and it's a real, incredibly strong observational piece that just had me on the verge of tears pretty much the entire way through. The performance by Flanagan is pretty extraordinary. Hittman is just there, just letting you witness and letting you get inside her skin exactly what she has to go through, and the oppositions that are there that are, again, not done in these broad strokes that you see often in many abortion dramas and faith-based things and stuff like that. It's not trying to convince you one way or the other what exactly is the right thing, but what is for this young woman, this kind of makes sort of an interesting trilogy of sort of the three, four, you can count St. Francis, four of the best movies of the year about women who have to make these, navigate in their own skin in these male-dominated worlds that they can't get out of. And that joins The Invisible Man and The Assistant, which we talked about earlier this year. This is a really strong piece of work, and it really affected me the entire way through.
All right, Steve, what'd you think?
We should add The Most Promising Woman to that list, but that hasn't come out yet. So, it's with Carey Mulligan. This is a tremendous film, and it hinges completely on the performance of Sydney Flanagan, who, as far as I can tell, has never been in anything before, and she's incredible. She's in every scene, and in a different version of this world, and maybe this is that different version, she would be considered for every award because she's that good. And we should make it clear, she's actually from this blue collar town in rural Pennsylvania. She has to go up to Manhattan to have this procedure because there's nowhere in Pennsylvania for her to have it, and it's just a process, and it almost feels like a film that was made in the 70s. It's very honest, a little scary sometimes, but these performances are so naturalistic and so believable that you just get pulled in, and you just feel every slight fear and just anxiety that she's going through. It's some of the best acting I've seen this year.
Okay, great. So yeah. There it is. Never, rarely, sometimes, always, and highly recommended by the guys. All right, Eric and Steve. You guys hold on, and we'll come back. We got one more movie to talk about, and then we're going to jump into action movies. You know, everybody's stuck inside, so we're going to give you some choices of action movies that you can watch in the safety of your own home, right here on 720 WGN.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way into New Orleans.
All right.
I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty
red. Janis Joplin, man. Me and Bobby McGee. Written by Kris Kristofferson. That song. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are here till 4 o'clock. My dad is going to call in and tell a joke. Folks had a rough weekend, though. I'm thinking about them. They had to put one of their cats down. Never easy. And they're very upset about it. But my dad's still going to tell a joke. They're in my thoughts. Oh, they always are. But this particularly rough weekend for my folks. So we'll get through this, though. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you guys want to jump in here. Eric Childress and Steve Procopi. One more movie, a new one to talk about, and then we're going to concentrate on movies that you can stream in your home. We're all stuck at home. We're all looking for something to watch. Last week, we told you about a whole bunch of comedies that could take your mind off of the current situation, and now we're going to talk escapist movies, action movies, some of the best action movies that are available. So Eric is here, and Steve is here.
Hey.
Hello.
Okay. Steve, tell us about Slay the Dragon.
Oh, yeah. So quite often documentaries that are built around political themes have a sort of long list of grievances, but not a lot of, when it comes to solutions to, you know, the multitude of problems being presented. But this film, Slay the Dragon, the documentary, it not only kind of gives us some ideas about efforts that can be put into action by everyday citizens, but it actually gives us something of a blueprint for it and actually shows us people taking these ideas and putting them into practice. The dragon in question here is actually the practice of gerrymandering, which is sort of redrawing electoral maps to serve a particular political party. And this focuses in, initially it's more informative, and it focuses on what happened in Michigan starting in 2008, where Republicans focus less on big picture elections and more on very small elections in different counties and different cities. But those people are the ones that redraw the maps. And so once they had those little offices, they could redraw the maps and make it much easier for Republicans to win bigger elections in the next election. So, this happened in several key states in the country. You can probably guess which ones. But we also get to meet this young woman named Katie Fay, who founded this grassroots activist group called Voters Not Politicians, and she basically wanted to take this practice of redistricting back into the hands of the people and sort of actually took it as far as the Supreme Court to get this initiative on a ballot in 2018. And like I said, they start out informative, but they get right into like the meat of this thing, which is just watching someone take this through the process and hopefully give other people, and other people already are doing this and starting this process in individual states. And it's just kind of a great thing to watch people sort of fix just this one piece of this broken electoral process to a certain degree. And I can't think of a better way to spend this time in isolation than actually learning something that has been going on all around you probably since you were born. I mean, this is a decades-old practice, and you probably don't know that much about it, but it's a terrific little documentary that is very suspenseful, it's very timely, it's sort of inspirational, and yeah, like I said, it's also very informative. So, and it's available pretty much on all VOD cable options and digital platforms, as we should have mentioned, as is Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always. Those are both available pretty much anywhere you can get VOD or streaming.
Okay, there you go. That's Slay the Dragon. All right. Eric, what about the cursed film series on Shudder?
Yeah, this is something something right up your alley. I don't know if you have Shudder, Nick, but this is something you might want to look into, because Cursed Films, it's a multi-part series about horror films that have these sort of urban legends around them that they're cursed in some fashion. It kicks off with The Exorcist. It goes into the whole Poltergeist series. And then the other episode, the three that I've seen so far, then that they finish off with The Omen. And, The Exorcist, I've seen so many documentaries and people talk about The Exorcist at this point that I didn't learn a whole lot of new stuff there. They talk about the movies, but they also have, like, a real-life exorcist on there and try to, defend, his profession after what the movie basically created a stigma out of. The Poltergeist series is really, that episode is really interesting because the MVP of that particular episode is actually Gary Sherman, because they talk a lot about Poltergeist 3 and what happened with Heather O'Rourke, with the tragic story of what happened with her.
Yeah.
And they have him on camera basically bringing some real important perspective to what happened to her and how that movie got, kind of unfairly blamed. And, the entire... all the episodes really kind of go into and are, particularly with The Omen, are leading up to the idea of the, the scapegoats that movies can become because of all these tragic things that happen around them, that there are comedies that have had tragic things around them, and people don't talk about them, the curse. It's only because of the stigma of horror movies. So there's a lot of really sort of interesting info in there, and I think each episode gets better as it goes along, but the Poltergeist and The Omen episodes are particularly strong, and I think that horror fans will really get a kick out of them.
Okay, that's on Shudder.
Okay.
All right, cool. So that's
we should mention real quick that next week, Trolls World Tour is going to be like basically the first big movie that's opening in outside, bypassing theaters, going right to VOD, and
right.
Theater owners are not happy about it. But this is a sort of a unique situation next week, and I know Nick, you were very worried about Trolls World Tour,
yeah,
never getting to see that. So,
it's a big thing. That's a big deal.
Yeah,
it's a big deal because that's a big movie. Trolls was Trolls was an enormous hit.
Yeah.
And so that's a big time movie. That's a big move on their part. So.
Yeah. But definitely. Man, who knows how that's going to impact things or who's going to follow its lead? But that's a big deal.
All right. Okay. We decided that we were going to talk about action movies. Everybody is stuck at home. And we've got some different streaming services that are offering some pretty great action movies. So, Steve, let's start with you. Netflix, your first one that you picked is Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2.
I just rewatched them this weekend. It's still one of my all-time favorites. And we're counting this as one movie, by the way, because Tarantino does. It's one of his only, pure action films. And he kind of does a great tribute to both Japanese and Chinese martial arts films. Yun Wu Ping does all the fight choreography. That guy's name is on my list more than once for different reasons. But he's just, all of the pieces are exactly right, and I still think it's my favorite Uma Thurman performance. That tea house sequence against the crazy 88 and this psychotic schoolgirl named Gogo is just one for the ages. It's such a great terms of style and kinetic relentless energy. I just love this movie. Two movies.
Yeah, they're great. The Kill Bill movies are great. There's no question about it. And that's available on Netflix. Also on Netflix, Eric, let's go to your side, Bloodfather.
Yeah, and this is a film with Mel Gibson, who plays a guy that has been, he's out of prison. He's trying to stay on the straight and narrow. And his daughter shows up in his life. He sort of lives off in a trailer, it's kind of out in the desert. And his daughter shows up, and she's trying to sort of leave her past behind. But naturally, that begins to catch up with her. And as they're sort of reconciling, he has to sort of be there to defend her against some bad people in her life. I try to look for some of the little more obscure things that people have not seen. And this one I thought was really quite solid. And it ends with a really fantastic shootout, which I think every film should have. But this one I liked quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay. And I remember when you reviewed that one before.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty good. So there's that. That's Bloodfather. Okay. Why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we got more action movies that we're going to choose from. You can watch them. We're going to tell you what's on Hulu, what's on Amazon, what's on Netflix. Everybody's stuck inside, so we want to do some escapism and get everybody talking about some action movies that would be fun to watch. All right. Okay.
They're asking me, this is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on lights, cause I don't want to see.
Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. That ain't the way to find out.
Three Dog Night, man. Mama told me not to come. Yeah. Yeah, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're all stuck inside, and so we're giving you some suggestions for some action movies that are streaming now. Last week we told you about comedies that you could watch and all that stuff since we're all stuck inside. We're also going to talk about the greatest album covers of all time, skills that everyone should have. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here till 4 o'clock. And we're talking action movies. Here's Eric.
Hello.
And Steve.
Hey.
All right. Ike is on the line. Ike, go ahead.
Hey, Nick. How's it going with you, man?
All right.
I have a perfect suggestion. I just got back watching this because it totally is relevant to where we're going on, what's going on with the quarantine and the isolation and the whole and how it's now a jungle out there and the coronavirus is kind of a monster. I have to go with the first two Predator movies.
Oh yeah, those are action packed. Yes, those are action packed. Yep. All right, Ike. Thanks, man.
No problem.
All right, that's Tom. You would agree with that. I know how much you love the Predator. You're wearing a Predator shirt right now.
Yeah, I actually am. I've got my heat. What was it? Heat vision.
Yeah,
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Love Predator. It was my most watched movie of 2018.
Tom and I are just a couple of dorks because he's got a Predator shirt on and I'm wearing a Suspiria shirt. So it's just
I'm just glad that because I have that same Suspiria shirt.
Yeah,
and I didn't want a repeat of last time where we wore the same shirt.
We wore the same shirt.
Day.
Yeah,
that was just embarrassing.
Like a couple
all
of
around.
Dorks. Steve, let's get back to your list. This is from Netflix, Beyond Skyline.
So let me just make it clear. The movie Skyline is mostly garbage, but it's about this extraterrestrial force that threatens to, like, swallow the entire human population off the face of the Earth. But this sequel, Beyond Skyline, which was directed by one of the writers of the original Skyline, who basically had his parts of that first film ripped out of it, but he kind of takes control here. It's a first-time director, and it focuses on this detective played by Frank Grillo who embarks on this pursuit to free his son from this alien warship, and it turns into this relentless action film that combines all sorts of different action styles. Iko Uwais, who is the lead from the Raid movies, is in it. Antonio Fargas is in it. There's even like a kaiju battle. I mean, there's nothing is the whole kitchen sink is in this one. And the plot just rips through characters. No life is sacred in this movie. It goes to every possible location. It's just so hyperactive, like a 10-year-old brain. And it goes all over the world. It goes underground. It even goes into the alien ship. It's just this like B-movie glory that looks like it cost a lot more than it did, but it's just so much fun if you just don't pay that much attention. It's just a great, great ride.
Okay. There it is. All right. So that's Beyond Skyline. I did see Skyline and it was terrible.
This is a different movie.
Yeah.
It's okay. Completely different.
All right. Okay. Let's move on. Eric, let's see. War on Everyone, available on Netflix.
Yeah, and this is actually written and directed by John Michael McDonough, so part of the McDonough brothers. Martin McDonough did In Bruges and Three Billboards. And this one actually feels more like the earlier Martin McDonough films, because it is Michael Peña and Alexander Skarsgård as two basically corrupt cops who have never met a criminal they couldn't sort of blackmail or frame, to sort of boost their numbers and, get as much money as possible. But it's a sort of a crazy, cops and crime tale that is just, it's really kind of all over the map. And the two of them are incredibly funny. Tessa Thompson is in the film. And it's kind of a weird mishmash of a lot of sort of cop cliches and stuff. But if you like the McDonough brothers films, this one is definitely one checking out, because no one saw this movie. It came out, it played South by Southwest. We actually had Michael Peña in for the Critics Film Festival, which was great. And it's a really crazy film that not a lot of people have seen.
Okay. You had me at Tessa Thompson. So, okay. How about IP Man, Steve?
His name is Ip Man.
Ip Man.
And seriously, the name Donnie Yen is sort of sacred in to most martial arts fans. And people in America probably know him best as like the blind monk from Rogue One. But he has decades long career in Hong Kong and China, and he's just this. He plays this person named Ip Man, who is a real life person, best known for being Bruce Lee's trainer before he came over to America. He's a legendary leader and teacher, and he sort of set the world on fire with his style of kung fu called Wing Chun. There's lots of movies made about this style. But it's a really interesting film because it's a combination of this sort of biographical thing and then a full-tilt martial arts movie. It's sort of the perfect hybrid of period piece and action. There's actually four Ip Man movies. Three of them are available. The first three are available on Netflix, I'm sure. The fourth one, which just came out in theaters last year, will make it there eventually. That's a real interesting one because that's the one where he comes to America to re-team with Bruce Lee, who at this point is becoming a star in America. But man, Yen is one of the best actors in the martial arts field, and he really gets a chance to dig into this character's emotions. There's a lot of loss and tragedy in this film, and he just reminds us, like I said, that he's probably one of the best actors among his martial arts peers. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. Next one you guys both agree on, and I happen to agree with you. Eric, tell us about Haywire.
Well, this is sort of that period of Steven Soderbergh's career where he was taking women who had really never acted in a major motion picture before, and crafting a movie totally all around them. He did it with Sasha Grey, who was an adult film star with The Girlfriend Experience, and then he took a former MMA fighter and American Gladiator, Gina Carano, and crafted this film called Haywire, where she plays this woman who, all these people seem to be after her. She uses her considerable martial arts skills on many of them. It's a pretty incredible cast. I mean, Carano was in the lead, but you had Channing Tatum and Michael Fassbender and Bill Paxton, and a lot of people show up in this movie, and she kicks the hell out of many of them, and quite well. I don't think Carano's been used better than she has been in this movie, and it's short, it's sweet, and the action is intense.
Yeah, and you agree, Steve?
Yeah, it's funny because Gina Carano, certainly in this film, is not a particularly great actor, but Soderbergh is smart enough to surround her with some of the best actors working at the time, and she kind of rises to the occasion to a certain degree. It's sort of like lightning in a bottle, and it's, like I've said it before about her, she's a total force of nature, and honestly, the way Michael Fassbender dies in this movie is how I want to go out. So, I love this movie. And it's funny because he made this film between Contagion and Magic Mike. So this dude was on a serious roll when he made this movie.
Yeah.
And a role of like never repeating himself. It was actually kind of great. But yeah, just think about those three movies like in a row.
Yeah, Haywire is great. It's great. Yeah. The action scenes are really beautiful, and the fights are great. It's it's a terrifically entertaining movie. I couldn't agree with you more. All right, Steve, your next one is a classic. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. You can't go wrong with that.
No, also Yuen Woon Ping also did the fight choreography. This guy is everywhere. And he actually directed the second, third, and fourth Ip Man movies as well as choreographed them. So, like, the guy's everywhere. The thing, I mean, this was like a... Ang Lee was not a martial arts filmmaker, but he was the one who was quoted as saying every Asian filmmaker has at least one martial arts film in them. And this was his. And it's not just brilliant, it's beautiful. And it was nominated for, like, 10 Oscars, and it made, at the time at least, made more money than any foreign language film ever had. And it holds up really marvelously. I think it's this colorful and passionate filmmaking, and the story's really interesting. Chow Yun-fat, who, again, was not really known for martial arts movies, he's much more known for, like, gunplay action films, first with John Woo and then over in the States. Michelle Yeoh, who came up through martial arts movies with Jackie Chan, and people know her now from, like, Crazy Rich Asians, but this was like her at her peak, practically. And yeah, I mean, and like I said, this fight choreographer, he did the Kill Bill movies, he did The Matrix, he did Drunken Master, he did, like, so many martial arts Hong Kong films with Jackie Chan and Jet Li, and anything with his name on it, you're pretty much guaranteed to have some of the best fight scenes you've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's also a beautiful movie.
It is.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is beautiful. I mean, it brings a tear to my eye every time I watch it. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a beautiful film. One of my favorites. So, all right. Let's see. Small Soldiers, Eric.
Yeah. You know, Joe Dante, you know, got way too many raw deals in his career.
Yep.
And, you know, he did this one in particular, which I'll get to in a second. You know, I mean, it's a story of these war toys, these soldiers that put the toy maker puts these special chips in. They basically develop life of their own, and you want to complete their mission. And that includes, you know, basically taking the war to the humans that, come in contact with. Tommy Lee Jones does the voice of one of the toys. Kirsten Dunst is in it. But this movie came out, it was the movie that came out right after, not too long after Phil Hartman was murdered. And Phil Hartman is in the movie, and there was a lot of talk at the time that, you know, there are a lot of guns and things pointed at him. And that made everyone a lot really squeamish, and I think it really sort of affected not just the box office, but I think people's reactions to it. But I think it's a pretty effective satire about toys and consumerism and, you know, just war in general. And I always thought this movie was a lot of fun.
I love Small Soldiers. I think it's great. And you're right about Joe Dante, man. He, you know, come on.
I know.
I mean, he's one of my favorite filmmakers, and he never catches a break, man. But yeah, Small Soldiers, terrific movie. Okay, hang on. And we're going to wrap it up here, talking about action movies that are available right now. I know everybody's stuck at home, so we're trying to give you some options. A ton of action movies. We'll fly through some of the other titles to tell you about right after this.
Wake up, Maggie. I think I got something to say.
Rod Stewart, man. Maggie May. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And, so we're going to talk about some of the best album covers of all time. Having some fun with that. Eric Childress and Steve Procopio are here. And we've been giving you some suggestions for action movies to binge while you're stuck at home. Let's fly through some more of these titles, okay, guys? Because we're running a little short here. The next one that's available on Hulu on Steve's list is Mission Impossible Fallout. A great movie.
Also on Eric's list. Yeah.
A great movie. One of the best. I mean, I think, you know, these Mission Impossible movies, they're all good. Every one of them is good. And they get better, which is insane.
Well, two's not good, but
Two is good. It's not great, but it's I mean, but I'll tell you, this the last one is the best one. I mean, they just keep.
I think second only to Fury Road is the best action movie of the last decade.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's pretty. That makes sense. Yeah. And let's see. Also on Eric's list, both of you guys had that. And then Eric, you put Bloodsport on your list.
Oh hell yeah! I mean, I think if you really want to turn your brain off and just watch Jean-Claude Van Damme at his peak, just kicking the hell out of people, and everyone else kicking the hell out of people too. This one is still just a ridiculous, you know, brain waster.
Yeah. No. I love Bloodsport.
Yeah,
it's great. Steve, you got The Fugitive.
Yeah, I mean it's. I just saw it recently during the Music Box's 90th anniversary. We got a 70mm print. We had Andrew Davis out there talking about it. I mean, it's just great use of Chicago locations and actors and non-actors and parades, and it's just one of the most relentlessly paced films. And it really became a blueprint for chase films, a certain kind of chase film from that day forward, basically. It's just, it's got classic lines and moments, and it's amazing.
It's a great movie. Eric, you pick Inception.
Yeah, from a film that you turn your brain off to one you definitely have to turn your brain on for. But it was my number one film of last decade, and I still think it's a masterpiece.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Let's see, the Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot.
We talked about this on your show when I was on there talking about Flashback. I'd just seen it at Fantasia. It's Sam Elliott playing a guy who, in this, you know, fictional historical drama that was when he was a younger man in the army, he was hired to kill Hitler, and he did it. And we never heard about it, but he did it. And it would guarantee the end of World War II. And then as an older guy, he's cranky and drunk, but they bring him out of retirement to kill a Bigfoot that's infected with a deadly disease that could spread throughout the country if he's not taken care of. And if you ever want to see Bigfoot throw up on Sam Elliott, look no further. This is the one. It's also a great movie and a great Sam Elliott performance. So. Okay.
And let's see. Eric, you pick Warrior.
Yeah, which you might not be classified as an action movie per se. It's definitely more of a drama, but, you know, again, set in the world of MMA fighting, those fight scenes, you know, are absolutely fantastic. Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton, Nick Nolte, an Oscar-nominated performance. The movie that when I first saw it made me cry four times.
And
I think it's a real special, it's got action, but the human element of the dynamic between the fathers and sons is pretty terrific.
It's a great movie. It is a great movie. Blade of the Immortal, Steve.
This was one of my all-time favorite filmmakers, Takashi Miike. This was his 100th film. And without going into the plot details, it basically boils down to he has a real devotion to period film, samurai film. Miike has a devotion to old-school swordplay and new-school just blood and guts. It's so impressive. And you'll need a shower to wash off the blood and mud from your soul after you see this movie. It's so good. And it did really well, actually, in art houses in America when it came out. So, yeah.
Okay. And then, Eric, you picked Hannah, which is a movie that I love.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, Saoirse Ronan, certainly her profile has certainly been built up recently, but, you know, you want to go back and see an earlier Saoirse Ronan performance that is, you know, again, Joe Wright sort of stepping out of his wheelhouse. You know, you never expect the guy who did Atonement would do a film like this. But again, the action scenes are pretty great, and, you know, it's a weird film. It's a very weird film, but it's one that will grab you.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. And all right, Steve, you want to explain this?
Yep, happy to.
Okay, Transformers: Dark of the Moon.
I don't remember the story. I don't remember anything about it. But after a lifetime of watching alien invasion films blow up New York and Washington, D.C., the last 30 or 40 minutes of this movie are epic destruction of Chicago. And it looks awesome. And I remember when they took over the city for many months, and they were everywhere shooting this movie. But to see the end result was really incredible. And honestly, I like I said, I don't remember. I don't rewatch the movie ever. I don't even think I own it. But I will watch that last 30, 40 minutes anytime I stumble upon it, period, end of story.
Yeah, I feel the same. I feel the same way about Rampage.
Yeah.
I like watching them just destroy, like a big ape just destroy, you know, downtown.
Yeah.
So, all right. A great one next, Eric Ronan. It's a classic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Robert De Niro. I just watched that tonight, actually. Yeah. And it's, you know, the David Mamet screenplay under a pseudonym. John Frankenheimer.
Yeah.
What a turnabout for him. A great script, great action, and probably top five car chases of all time.
No question.
Unbelievable car chase in the movie and just terrific action.
Yep, great movie. Okay.
Also on my list. And one of the great casts of, like, international casts I can think of, too. Yeah, that's also on my list.
It's a terrific movie. Tank Girl. I'm glad that she's showing some love for Tank Girl, Steve.
This is the female Mad Max, as far as I'm concerned. And for many years, it was until Fury Road. It really was for me. So what else did we have, really? And, like, an early Naomi Watts performance that I think is really great. Stan Winston does all these practical effects. Catherine Hardwicke, the director, does the production design. It's, like, a great soundtrack, and it's just a really cool, effective post-apocalyptic thing with some cool action in it and some really forward-thinking feminist views, and it's really imaginative and funny, and I don't know, I just love it.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Anyone who knows the work of S. Craig Zahler, who's got a real sort of nihilist streak in him, he did Bone Tomahawk, and the most recently he did Dragged Across Concrete with Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn. And this one has Vince Vaughn, who in the first 10 minutes of the movie literally destroys a car with his fists.
Yep.
It's a 2.5-hour, really crazy, crime film with some incredibly gruesome violence in it. And then also Vince Vaughn, doing his best, Raid impression in the prison where he eventually gets himself voluntarily locked up with. If you can handle brutal violence, this one is pretty interesting.
Yeah. All right. Fists of Fury, Steve.
If you're going to talk about action movies, let's go to the source. I mean, it's Bruce Lee. Are you going to, I don't really, I mean, it's a great action, but it's also like a serious allegory about like honor in the face of oppression. I mean, it's sort of square one for me in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's terrific. It's terrific. All right. The Great Escape. You went classic as well, Eric.
Yeah, one of the all-time great adventure films. I mean, over 3 hours long, doesn't feel a bit of it. I think it's over 3 hours long. It's close to it. And you talk about cast. I mean, Steve McQueen and James Garner and Donald Pleasence. I mean, it's just an incredible cast about this prison, this true life prison break. It's always been a favorite of mine. I can watch it every time it's on cable.
Yep. Okay. By the way, you both have Overlord on on the list, which makes me happy.
World War II.
Yeah, I love that movie. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, Highlander.
I mean, look, there can be only one. This is a huge blend of, like, fantasy and sci-fi and, like, weird time traveling stuff, and Russell Mulcahy was like on my radar at the time because he was a great, really popular music video director. He did a lot of Duran Duran videos, some of the ones everyone knows. He did Video Killed the Radio Star, and he had this really unique visual style, almost too much visual style, and it's an insane, bonkers, movie. But it was also like beautiful widescreen, and the reason this sticks in my head is because I saw it at the Music Box with Nick Offerman introducing it, and this is like one of his favorite movies, and then there's the Queen soundtrack is basically like the topper of everything else. So this is a movie that, this of all these movies, this is the one that makes me want to drink the most for some reason. I think it's Sean Connery's quote-unquote Spanish accent, but
all right. And then finally, really quickly, you're picking James Bond movies.
Hulu has put up all the James Bond movies from Connery to Brosnan, and I guess if I had to pick one for each guy, I personally would go From Russia with Love for Connery. I would go Spy Who Loved Me for Roger Moore. Of course, Lazenby's on Her Majesty's Secret Service is on there. And for Dalton, I would pick License to Kill. And for Brosnan, the only one I liked is Tomorrow Never Dies, which also has Michelle Yeoh in it.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. And stay safe, okay, guys?
You too.
Be well.
You too, man.
Okay.
Yep, take care.
There's Eric and Steve, and they'll be back again next week.